नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Canto 3, Chapter 7, Text 4, in the matter of fervent prayers by the doers. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. By His self-sheltered potency of the three modes of material nature, the Lord has caused the creation of this universe. By her He maintains creation and conversely dissolves it again and again. Perfect. This cosmic universe is created by the Lord, for those living entities are carried away by the illusory thought of becoming one with Him by limitation. The three modes of material nature are for the further bewilderment of conditioned souls. The conditioned living entity, bewildered by the illusory entity, considers himself a part of the material creation due to forgetfulness of his spiritual identity, and thus becomes entangled in material activities life after life. This material world is not for the purpose of the Lord Himself, but is for the conditioned souls who want to control the controllers due to misuse of their God-gifted minute independence. Thus the conditioned souls are subjected to repeated birth and death. Translation. By His self-sheltered potency of three modes of material nature, the Lord has caused the creation of this universe. By her He maintains creation and conversely dissolves it again and again. Yeah, here we do as in the middle of presenting a question to Sri Maitreya, and then after that Maitreya will answer the question. The basic gist of the question is that why has the Lord created this material universe when it's so satisfied? And why are the living entities who have nothing to do with material nature, completely spiritual, why are they engulfed by the illusion of material nature? They know me, day after Radharani's appearance day, is the day when Purchase Maharaj, who sat down to hear the Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami. And for the next 7 days, up until the form when he listened to Sukadeva speak these very words which we're hearing. This Bhagavatam is non-fundamental language. Comes from the topmost planet of Goloka, not just the topmost planet of Goloka, but the very innermost chamber of Goloka, known as Vajra. And it appeared in this world actually on the same day as Srimati Radharani takes the Radhastana. The living entities, they originate from Krishna. They are similar to Krishna in every way, except they're minute, very minute. So infinitesimally minute in comparison to Krishna, but it's not really possible to make the comparison. Many examples are given there to try to show the minuteness of the living entity in comparison to Krishna, but nothing can quite sum it up. The Krishna is unlimited. And living energy is very, very small and vast. They have, as the Lord has, an appendix. But in the same way as they're very small in comparison to the Lord, their independence is very minute. In fact, their independence is basically the choice whether to be submissive to Krishna or not to be submissive to Krishna. Now, a living entity can never be contaminated by eating energy. It's always spiritual. In actuality, it's not even right to say that the living entity per se can fall down, because he doesn't fall from his spiritual position as a living entity. He doesn't lose his spiritual nature. Never becomes material. That's not possible. But his consciousness, that becomes contaminated. And the example is given that just as the moon is in the sky and reflecting on the water, then the reflection appears to be moving. Although the moon is not moving, it's not shimmering like that, and neither should the reflection shimmer, but the water is shimmering. And thus it appears a reflection is shimmering. By association with the water, the moon seems to have taken on the quality. By association, when entities take up the material nature, they appear to have taken on the qualities of the material nature. This material world was not created for Krishna's pleasure. He's no interest. He's fully self-satisfied. Then go fully. There's no need to expand as the Vasudevs and Shankarachars and Narayans and all. There's no need at all. It's fully satisfied. 10% satisfied. But living entities, they desire. Some of them desire to see the Lord's offerings. So we find Dwarka, we find Mathura, we find wherever we go. Some of the living entities, they decide that they would like to be independent, enjoy this as the Lord is. They want to imitate Krishna completely. Not being possible, as they're not capable due to their minuteness, then they are introduced to material nature. When you come in contact with material nature, they take on the qualities of material nature, apparently. They become completely illusioned by thinking that they're part and parcel of the material nature. For their protection, the Lord expands as the Dharmatma and enters the heart of each and every one of them. To guide his actions, to help him fulfill his desire to try to be an enjoyer, and to punish him when he exploits other living entities. A wise doesn't need to be punished. We're not punished for trying to enjoy Krishna himself. Of course, punishment is there, that we're illusion, that we're not tasting the bliss which we're naturally born to, of returning service to Krishna. But we're given the material world to try and rule. What we're not given is the right to exploit our beings, our living entities. But as soon as we start exploiting, which we can't help but do because we want to imitate Krishna, who's taking service from all living entities, we also want to take service from the humanities. We also want to be a big enjoyer and exploit as much as we can, because that is our understanding of what Krishna's doing. And as soon as we take Krishna's service for our pleasure, then we have to suffer over and over and over again. Now to get out of this situation is basically impossible. Luminarity has gotten entangled in this snare of Maya, and he is not powerful enough to pull himself out of the illusion. It's not possible. Due to his minuteness and due to his willingness to abandon him into this dangerous place, he's trapped on all sides. The Lord comes from this department. The Lord manifests his shastras. All of the locals of the spiritual world manifest his material as four places. Each and every one, even the topmost place, Rajatama manifests as another even in God. The eternal associates of the Lord, they come to this mature world for the sole purpose of encouraging the humanities to come back to the source. So all of these are this course of mercy, who does not really need, is fully satisfied. Radharani is there. She fully satisfies us. Sends. In fact, he only finds satisfaction in ourselves. And he fulfills her desire by accepting the service. The other golden girls, cowboy boys, and all of the other devotees. To satisfy her, he accepts her service. So if you have no need, you want to go, right, you're free to go, you're independent. Minutely independent, but independent. Off you go. Try to maintain, try to enjoy. But still, you should be so merciful. But he doesn't want the community to suffer like that. The underlying problem is that we want to be good and stronger. What we don't realize that in that position, our natural position is serving to Krishna, we can control the condition. Because Krishna is controlled by the spirit. So foolishly we want to search around to be controller, even though in our natural position, as servants of Krishna, offering him love and devotion, attempting our best to satisfy the senses, we can actually control Krishna. So how foolish we become, running after a mirage, in this dry desert known as material means. How foolish. And yet, we can hear it again and again. We're told again, oh, we're not that body. We're explained how the spirit soul completely of a different nature to material nature. We're explained how the whole material world is working out, taking birth after birth, getting old, disease, dying, taking birth again. We hear so many things, and we think that we know so many things. But knowledge is proven by action. As somebody says that I know the fire burns, and they can even explain in detail why the fire burns if you touch it. But they still touch the fire. That does not mean that they have knowledge. There is no realization there. Realization is when they're not foolish enough to touch the fire. And somebody who knows that the fire burns, that if I drink this poison I will die, and still does such activities, is not called intelligent. It's not called brave. It's called insane. Stupid. So what is our position? Again and again we hear that you're not part of this material world. That all of these bodies surrounded you are not related to you. That your very own body is just going to fall to pieces. There's nothing to do with it. And yet we remain intact. We fight to hold on to it. We meditate on it day and night. So what is our intention? And Srila Prabhupada asks us, who are the biggest fools and rascals? Who are the various mudas in this world? No one could answer him. And he said, immediately, you are. I'm telling you again and again. The surrender to Krishna, this is your natural position, you're not doing. So you are the greatest mudas. Just to gain knowledge about bhakti will not give us much, will not free us from the material world. It's certainly a good stepping stone. We have to come to the position of actually wanting to satisfy Krishna's devotees, wanting to serve his devotees. Then it becomes possible by association. By associating with the spiritual nature, then again our consciousness becomes spiritualized. Simply hearing about and speculating about the taste of a honey in the jar, does not allow us to understand the real taste of honey. Huge difference. And somebody hearing from that person who simply describes how sweet the honey is, but they've never tasted that sweetness, then how much can they taste it? Lip service, simply hearing blindly, simply thinking, yes, I know you, I know you, you're not this body, you're not this, you're not that. That's the meaning of it. At the time of death, what will happen? No wonder, maybe a very pious devotee, maybe we'll be fortunate enough to come in contact with these devotees again and hear all over again, before you ask all, why don't we just surrender to Krishna? Oh, I don't know, I know. Lord Rama says I don't know. Lord Shiva says I don't know. Narada Muni says I don't know. Even Srimati Radharani does not know. Oh, glorious Krishna. Krishna does not know. Hear some rascal say, yes, I know who I am. Should not make ourselves more foolish than we already are. We already became the greatest foolish persons by entering into this material world, into this darkness. Now we make ourselves more foolish by thinking, yes, I know I am. When the Guru finishes his questions here, the Jaya will start to answer. And then he comes to the conclusion. Take to the chanting of the Holy Spirit. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Have to actually become absorbed in the glorification of Krishna. Not in the glorification of ourselves. I know, I know. I can quote this sloka, I can quote that sloka. I've memorized so many things. I can sit down and speak so nicely. We don't want to become Vedanta. We don't want to become Vaivara. We don't want to become Shastri. We want to become Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaivara, Bhakti Vedanta. Lord Bhakti, living entity, has no meaning. Love being connected with Krishna, in loving devotion, living entity is useless. Spark separated from the fire. You actually have to learn how to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. The essence. Don't need some deep philosophical analyzation of what service to Krishna is. It's service to Krishna. Doctor gives some medicine, take the medicine and take it to cure us. Sit around speculating what that medicine is. It will not cure. But this disease that I want to be the consoler. I want to be Krishna. Enjoy. It's very difficult to overcome once you submit to it. You come in contact with the Shastras, even the original Shastras, Srimad Bhagavatam. You want to become a knowable Bhagavatam. The master of Bhagavatam. The noble for sure, the Bhagavatam is Radha Krishna. Really want to become the master of Radha Krishna? Really think that is the goal of life? Have to learn Trinada Pinsati. Have to become tolerant, have to become submissive. How to allow transcendental realization to manifest in the heart. It starts with hearing. So on this very day, Krishna Maharaj stands here. He was a great devotee. But he didn't say, I know. Please give me that knowledge. In which I can become free from all of these things. Free from the shackles of the material world, free from the idea of becoming one with God. So I can become the servant of servants. We don't develop this process of hearing. We'll never be able to develop the process of chanting. What gets in the way? I know. That same hunkar has got us into trouble in the first place. And I, the living entity, so small, so insignificant, wants to rise up to become the personality of God. Even when we hear, but that's not possible, right? So let me just become some great personality. So everyone will worship me. Let me have something. I so desperately want to be the enjoyer. I said I want to imitate Krishna. Thus you must perfect our ability to heal. That hearing by itself will manifest in our heart. Bhakti will manifest. Everything will be there. When bhakti is present, the Krishna is very, very difficult to become free in this contamination. And yet, Lord Chaitanya has made it so simple. Simply take to the Hari Nama. Simply hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. worship closely with the Lord daily. Worship the Vaishnavas. Worship the deity. Live in the holy abode. Vrindavan, Navadvipa. And know for sure that you have nothing to do with the material nature. The senses, his mind, his body, his anka, ego, intellect, is all given by the Paramatma. Surrender back to him. Go to the spiritual world and tell yourself. Choice is always ours. You must never think that I am wrong. Always be dependent on the devotees. Always wanting to invite their mood of self-sufficiency. Available by self-sufficiency. Starts with you. Blossoms with Chandra and everything else follows. One syllable is brought up, especially now. If we can act submissively here and let it enter into the heart. What enters the heart? Devotion to Krishna. Where is that devotion to Krishna? It's in Goloka. What enters the heart? The entire Goloka, Vrindavan, enters the heart. Again, the divinity is at home. If we don't want to be submissive, then we miss that opportunity. We need to remember that the divinity is independent, minute, but still independent. And each divinity is different from all the other entities. Each living entity has an internal relationship with Krishna, a particular mood, which may be very similar to other moods, but each and every one is unique. Have to be very honest with ourselves and see if after chanting Hare Krishna, after associating with the devotees, after attempting to perform so much service, are we actually tasting the bliss of devotion to Krishna? Or are we still very much attached to our own karmas? We find that we're still very much attached and that we're not really tasting full bliss of devotion to Krishna. We must try very hard to find that association. Those persons who have actually this recognition. We may say, well, how do I find such persons? According to our desire, we take birth in a particular body. According to our desire, so many things come to us. And according to our desire, if it's sincere, when we come in contact, sincere motives of Krishna. We want to be cheated, that is where we'll end up. We want to actually serve Krishna, that is our burning desire. And when we come in contact, that is Krishna. And by that association, very easily be able to enter into that blissful ocean of the ocean. Are there any questions or comments? How to be submissive? You know the answer to that. Why are you asking that question? If you want to get some maha from someone, you go and punch them in the nose. Know how to be submissive. When you want something, you're very submissive. Yeah, I'm not quite sure why you're saying that, because you certainly you don't mean to be nonsense. You certainly won't help me. So I'm not quite sure what you are saying by that statement. Not be submissive. There are instances where we should not associate with certain persons, at least not associate by revealing our sentiments and revealing our mind and heart. Submissiveness does not come into it. Black Knight was always submissive, even to his demonic father. Submissive is not really the thing we want to ask here. There is situations where we are not going to submit ourselves and reveal ourselves to certain persons. In other words, we're not going to enter into deeper situation. For such persons, we try to give ourselves by requesting something we should. But submissive does not come into it. If Srila Prabhupada wasn't submissive, how he would conquer the whole world with so many demonic persons to surrender to Krishna? He can't do that by going in a non-submissive way to people, threatening them in a puffed up way, but only in a very submissive way, begging people, please take my chanting Hare Krishna. It's for your best welfare. In answer to your question, there is no situation where we should not be submissive. But certainly you should be very guarded about whom you associate with in an intimate way. Submission does not come into the equation. You always have to be more tolerant of the truth. Avoid all sense of those questions. And one doubt that we are not fully understanding what you want to say here. Please try to understand my point and meditate on what it is you really want to, point you want to make, but it's certainly nothing to do with being sincere. I don't know if there's a language problem here, or just an understanding problem, but certainly we don't want to be unsincere in any situation. The devotee is recognized by his humility. Yes. So what did Prahlad Maharaj say to Hiranyakashipu to manifest his non-submission? Because when I read Bhagavatam, I didn't see that part of the Bhagavatam. I didn't see Prahlad Maharaj not being submissive. He was saying, my dear father, you're getting your energy from the same person that one else is getting it from. He didn't become non-submissive. But he became even more submissive. Because at that point he was fully seeing what a demon his father is. But he still remained very humble in front of him. He didn't give up his conviction. Many convinced he didn't agree. But to not agree does not mean you're not submissive. But he didn't become puffed up. You're talking about submission and surrendering to someone as the same thing, were they not? He didn't surrender to Hiranyakashipu. If you want to expand that and say he didn't submit himself to him, then yes, you could have a point there. But he never became unsubmissive. Not going to agree to the proposal that to be very humble we want to take up your demoniac way of life, not in any circumstance. But we're not going to become puffed up either, in essence. And if it becomes impossible and we're not advanced enough, then we'll leave that situation. If it becomes impossible by our humble attitude to be able to convince that person, then we will leave that place. Alright. We remain eternally submissive You have to always remember yourself. We don't want to become submissive to the mutual nature and those under the mutual nature. But in whatever situation, in many senses, this is why Hirani Kashyapu was so frustrated. But here I am, so powerful, this is just a little boy, torturing in so many ways, and yet still I'm not able to conquer him. Why wasn't he able to conquer? Because he was surrendered to the internal potency. The powerful logic which you're presenting brings us completely into the body of consciousness. That you want to say, oh, I and this body should not be submissive to somebody else. But you want to live on that platform, you want to make greater consciousness. When one turns on the spiritual path, and remains submissive at the time, we're not in an illusion that we're the personality of Godhead, that we're someone greater than the other. But we understand all the other living entities are part and parcel of Krishna. The moment we come over as being someone greater than the other person, that person is not. Why would they surrender to you? Not willing to surrender to Krishna, he's going to surrender to you. That surrender is based on exploitation. Let me behave humbly before this person, let me behave submissively before this person, so I can get something from him and eventually step on his head. It's bodily. If you want to deal with submission on that platform, then yes, don't submit. What would that gain? One gain. Prabhupada was asked this question many times in different situations and different wordings. And Prabhupada would always say you have to practice surrender. We have a system which is connected to the found world. And we've made a system within our Western society, which is a branch of that found world. And we have to practice that mood of surrender. So we may sometimes feel that this person is in a position, and at the same time we may feel it doesn't seem so completely spiritual. But we also have to try to see the connection. And so by following the instructions and trying to surrender, we will attain success. Of course, this doesn't sound very nice to somebody who is still very much attached to the mutual platform. But if we think about it, if we're attached to the powerhouse, then we really see the potency. Even if sometimes it comes to a dead life, chain is there. We stop our listening, not because somebody may not seem to sense and surrender to Krishna. When their instructions are deviant, when their instructions become deviant, then we can stop. But if some rascal tells you to chant Hare Krishna, are you not going to follow it because you're a rascal? Why would I do that? If some rascal tells you to surrender to Krishna, if some person who doesn't feel like going to the kirtan says you should go to the kirtan people, are you going to say I'm not going to the kirtan because you never go? Does this sound like intelligence? So as long as the instruction is there, then you can carry on following. Leaving to Krishna to adjust. As soon as one is deviant from the instructions, then we don't have to follow. As soon as one becomes offensive, we don't have to follow. We should be practicing to see the good qualities of it. Otherwise, this constant analyzing will never allow us to. We have to develop some dependence on Krishna. We have to actually believe he exists. And that he will guide each one of us back to him. That is our desire. Come to Calcutta, we go to the government bus stand, we get on the bus. The bus driver will bring you here to Mayapur. You may be a complete commie. But if you see yourself driving in the other way, then you don't need to. It's all part of the surrendering process. And usually we ended up in such a situation because we need to learn how to surrender. As long as the other person is attempting to become Krishna conscious, then he can follow his good interests. Anything else but some kind of qualities. Otherwise, in that case, you must be thinking you don't have any bad qualities. Or if you do, then you're not in a position to say anything to anyone by that logic. Why anyone should listen to you? And if we all go around thinking like that, we won't listen to anyone. Madhvavatam ki, Prabhupada.